Happy Sabbath, everybody. There are a few friends of mine here. Welcome. Good to see you. Thank you, Elder. Just before we enter into the message, first of all, I need to make a disclaimer. Are you there? Now, I normally don't preach from the platform. So that's something that I hope you don't get a little scared. I walk around. Sometimes I walk in between. So don't feel uncomfortable with that. Once I was told, when I just started preaching at the Lake Nelson Church, they says, no, the preacher must be up there. And I said to the sister, I don't remember Jesus was on a pulpit. The last time I checked, he was under a tree. He was on the hills. And he just opened the words of hope. Would you say amen? And second, by the way, amen does not give cancer. You could use it. I see some of you somewhat tight-lipped when you say amen. I believe there's no problem in saying amen. Right, sister? Praise the Lord. Now, just before we step into the Word, we will be doing something slightly different. You will see some of the concepts on the screen, because some of our young people sometimes use their smartphones. I would like you to text somebody. What would I like you to do? Text somebody. I believe you can have text gospel. Hello? You didn't hear about that word before? Text gospel. You some text jokes, text something. I'd rather you text the gospel. Take out your smartphone. Hello. Yeah, I know some of you might say, oh, no, in the church, yes. Mm-hmm. I want you to text the following. Your past should not control your present. No. But don't text it yet. This is part of it. Your past should not control when? Okay. We want you to text it to somebody. Texting it to somebody? Is he texting it to somebody? I need you to text it to somebody. You know, you got to tell him he's a kind of crazy Costa Rican guy is who's sharing this. Your past should not what? Nor determine or dictate your future. Dictate or determine, some words, your future. Your past should not what? What it should not do with the present? Okay, I see some of you got lost. No, don't get lost as yet. Your past should not what? Control your present, nor determine or dictate your future. Text it to somebody. Tell him, hey, a Costa Rican guy just shared this idea. I don't know what's wrong with him. I believe even though you're in church, you should let others know that you're excited about Jesus. I just heard a sweet amen. I just tell them, amen does not give cancer. Let us bow our head for a moment to pray. Lord Jesus, we ask your permission to open your word. We ask that the same Holy Spirit that inspired men and women of the past can inspire our heart and mind right now. We pray that the same Holy Spirit who convict the mind and heart of men and women of the past will do the same thing with us. There might be somebody here today, Lord, that is coming to this church broken with challenges in their lives. But as we open your word, we ask that the word of God will be the voice of God to our heart. Bless us, we pray and ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in my early teen, I attended a church something like this, just that it was more than 400 members. And just the young people were close to 100. I give God thanks I grew up in a church like that. Not an easy church, but I believe it was the best of all. And there was a lady that was the commander. That's the way we called her. And her name, she passed away, but her name was Ruth Kelly. And Ruth Kelly, kind of interesting lady, you could not tell her now. When she said something to you, you have to, yes, ma'am. Yes, yeah, that's it. So on Sabbath morning, just before we walked out of church, she said, hey, you guys, come here, come quickly. I said, okay. You go home, swallow, and come back to church. Was not to eat, swallow. So I say, okay. So I did not know she already talked to her parents. By the time we got home, our food was served. We said, eat fast. Sister Kelly wants you back at church. And say, okay. So we rushed back at church like good soldiers, like pathfinders. This was when I was in my early teen. And back then, I grew up in a church that things were pretty much orthodox. You know, everything was set by good rules. And she said, okay, your parents give you enough money? Oh, yes. We're going to take the bus. The bus on Sabbath. Oh, you know, we were pretty strict on Sabbath. No, holy people. We got on the bus and went to the neighboring city, a little town. As soon as we arrived, it was almost 85 degrees. So we were walking in the sun. And we start mumbling and saying, we are like the children of Israel walking behind Moses. We are just like the children of Israel walking behind Moses. And she would say, what are you saying? Nothing, ma'am, nothing, ma'am. So I am not sure if Egypt was better than walking with her. So we sometimes used to mock her. We arrive at this house. The yard was overgrown. The gate somewhat twist. We cross the gate. The house looked in such a bad shape. It looked like a house of horror. And as soon we walked in, she opened the door. We couldn't even stand the scent inside the house. And we could see an old lady slightly could get up. And an old man, he could not move. And in our mind, we says, this seems like they might not even live to reach the 6 o'clock. Far away from my mind, what that lady was doing. She was a personal ministries community service director. Back in those days, you called it Dorcas. That was the name that was given to that ministry. And this lady, as soon as we got inside the house, she gave instruction. I need you to go to this house. It's just down the block. That's where Sister So live. I need to go to this other area. This is where Brother So and Sister So live. So she sent us to different houses. And we said, okay, on Sabbath. Oh, okay. So when we arrived at these houses, we did not know she previously talked to these families. So here we are walking back with some linen, some bed clothing, and we were walking back with machetes, with other stuff and curtains, and we said, so why in the world this family is giving us this? As soon as we got back to the house of this elderly couple, the lady started pulling up the old man that seemed like he was in that bed for days. For us, it was like weeks. It smelled so bad. Sister Kelly and the other lady pull up the old man and take him to the bathroom and gave him a shower. And we say, a shower? Whoa. We wanted to throw up when we saw the bed. Then she asked us, two of the guys, to pull out the mattress and carry it outside. And they brought a new mattress. And we start reforming the house, cleaning the house, taking down the curtains, bring food. And after a while, she was feeding these old folks with some soup and some food. And somehow, the sanctimonious young people were saying, oh, we should not be doing this on Sabbath. Because she asked us, so those of the guys, to take the machete and clean the front. There was no weed whacker. It was machete. And we said, we're going to clean on Sabbath. She said, you better do it. No, we didn't have an option. When you look at that lady, she was good size. We were just skinny guys. So we were cleaning, fixing the gate, screwing it up at the best of what we could. And we were transforming the house. And neighbors started look outside and say, "Whoa! Praise God, somebody had some love for this poor family." Little did we know, after we finished, we had worship. We pray and sing with these old folks. We didn't know them well. Then the sister assigned, okay, you and you, tomorrow, you need to ask your parents to bring some breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You're going to bring lunch and dinner for Monday. My term was Tuesday. So as soon as I got home, I says, Ma, according to Sister Kelly, you need to send. She already talked to me. Oh, you already know. Okay. So we had to carry, when we were going early in the morning, take breakfast to them, then take the lunch, and provide food for this couple. 1 week passed. We came to church. Suddenly, as young people were sitting and laughing in church, suddenly this old man lifted up his hand. We could not recognize him. It was the same old man who we said would not live to 6 o'clock that evening. He stood up and he said, Church, I would like to express my gratitude for these young people. And we were, So we said, oh, that's the old man. And he says, just a week ago, I was praying to God I wanted to die. I was laying in my own mess. And the church was listening carefully, says, but a group of angels, and we say, angels?
We were not looking like angels, brother.
Came to my house. My wife couldn't even move. She was also sick. But they came to the house to clean us up, give us food. And after they left her house, we now have a reason to live.
Oh, you could imagine all young people.
We could not believe that just that act of kindness could help someone to have a reason to live. We adopted those old people as our grandparents. Every week we'll go to their house and have a little time with them. And the reason I'm sharing this story, church is not about just dressing up and coming to church. That's what I believed when I was growing up. I thought that, oh, we got to look nice and, open our eyes and look at the beautiful girls and the girls will look at the handsome guys. Hello, come on now. Come on now. But Sister Kelly taught us that church is about serving. Today I want to share with you about a young man. He was just 7 years of age. And according to the scripture, if you go to Chronicles and the book of Kings, we find that this young child, called to be a king, he had a grandmother that was no way good. If you look on his background, he did not have what we will call the best option. And by the way, the title of the meditation today, as you see it on the screen, is Lighting the Revival Fire Again. And if you have your Bible, open it again to 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 1 and 2. Open your Bible, please. Open your Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 1 and 2. I have it on the screen, so you will probably read, but the Bible says there is blessing in the reading and the hearing. Amen? So, in case you can't read, you can hear. If you can't read because your eyes are like mine, don't worry, we work it out. Now, I have the version, one version on the screen that says, Joash was 7 years old, that's the New King James Version, when he became king, and he reigned according to the scripture. You have it right here. He reigned what? 40 years. So, can you imagine? In the United States, a president sometimes starts his leadership when he's in his 40s. And the word of God goes on, and I kind of underlined it, by the way. His mother's name was Sibiah of Beersheba. Joash did what was what? Right. No, somebody got to be on God's side. He did what? Right. You see, regardless of the opinion of people today, there is things that are right and there are things that are wrong. Don't be confused by this. What the Bible says is right and what some people's opinion is wrong. Hello? I didn't hear an amen on that. Let me go back and say, what the Bible says is right, the opinion of other people is Even if it is the pastor. If it's not in harmony with the Bible, he is. If the elder or the anyone who says, oh no, I get an inspiration from God. If it's not in harmony with the Bible, he is. Don't forget this. If I come and preach something that is not in harmony with the Bible, hey, he's wrong. You'll be afraid of that. It's wrong. But if it is in harmony with the Bible, it is. Okay, unto the law and the testimony. If you speak not according to this, because there is what? Okay, you need to follow me on that. Anyhow, let me go a little farther. It says, Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord. All the days of whom? That's a new name now. This was a priest. May I get ahead of the sermon by saying, what will happen 20, 30 years from now if you die? If you die today, will your children remain Christians? Come on now. When I visit Colombia, I have a few of my friends who are there in Colombia. I eat mangoes every day. He's a witness. Every day. Some people tell me, you're going to get diarrhea eating so much mango. I eat 4 to 5 to 6 mangoes a day. In the morning and evening. And sometimes on the bus. I didn't have it. Some people got diarrhea for other things. Hello. But while I was eating those mangoes, they were very sweet. If somebody at least 5, 6, 8, 10 years before had not sowed the seed, I wouldn't get the mangoes. You got to sow today to reap when? In order to have the church that we want for 2025, we got to sow it when? Now. If you don't sow today what we want to reap tomorrow, you are fooling yourself. Oh Lord, I help that my son be a good Christian. How you help your son or your daughter to be a good Christian? You got to sow the seed when? Come on, church, wake up to me. Wake up. Many of you are investing, not spending, investing for your son or daughter to be a professional 5, 6, 8, 9 years from now, right or wrong. Come on, talk to me, church. And you are intentionally investing. If your son or your daughter come to you and says, I want to study to drive a dumpster truck, you look at them and say, yeah, right. I ain't investing in that. You see, I have a view, and you guys believe in Christian education. How many of you have your children in the Waldwick School? A few of you? Praise God. Oh, we need to see more hands. Hello. Or we probably need more children. Hello. Let me come. I want to share with you a principle. That's just kind of a little detour. Just a principle. Parents, you are the investors. Would you say amen? Okay, so you're not convinced about that. Listen to what I'm going to say now. I'm really convinced about this. Who dictate details of the building? The final details of the building? The architect or the investor? Some of you are not clear. Okay. If there is no money, there is no building. Shake my hand. Yes, sister, you're on the right track. So then, who dictate the construction? The architect tell you the dream. He basically tell you something that does not exist. He draw it and he convince you to invest money, right or wrong. Follow me now. If you are the investors, your children are what? The architect. Who dictate what they must study for the future? You see, some of you is quiet now. Uh-huh. Who dictate what they should study in the future? The investor or the architect? Many of your children say, I study what I want. Hello. I need to come back. I need to come back another Sabbath to talk about this because that's not the sermon. But I have a problem. I have to address this because when you take your children to Christian schools, Christian Adventist education, you are investing. I hear too many cries that people say, oh, the Adventist school is too expensive. How expensive is rehab? Have you know how much you have to invest for rehab somebody who is addicted to some drugs? Okay. Adventist education is the best investment. Somebody got to say amen. Let's see if I can get this guy. No, yes. Oh, there you go. Let me read this. In contrast, Jesus is the what? The truth, the life. His truth exposes what? Would you agree on that? Okay. Truth is worth living and it is worth dying. Our faithfulness to Christ and his truth will what? Unless we live and abide by these principles, the future is dark. Let's understand the text number 2 from chapter 24 from 2 Chronicles says, and I like these different versions. I'm reading the contemporary English version that says, while Jehoiada, that's the right way you pronounce it, you pronounce that name. Some way like that, right? The priest, while he was alive, Joash, that's the young king, the 7-year-old king, obeyed who? By doing what is? Now, when we look at the good news, and they say, he did what was what? Pleasing to the Lord as long as Jehoiada, the priest, was alive. But when I go to the message, I this is a paraphrase, but it says, taught and trained by Jehoiada, the priest, Joash did what was? That pleased God throughout Jehoiada's lifetime. Now, when I read the New International Reader's Version, it says, Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He lived that way as long as what? Now, the question I asked before, if you was to die today, will your children remain Christians if you die? It is a troubling question for many Christians today. John Matthews and many others who do some research, it says that we are one generation away from losing Christianity. You see, we can't make Christians that are not existing. Christians today, young people, will be passionate about Jesus if you are passionate about Jesus. I was talking with the young people in their class. I like that class. Hello. Oh, I don't know. Some of you should be going behind there. We have some interesting conversation behind there. How can our friends who come to church be passionate about Jesus if you are dead? Somebody got to say, have mercy. No, they say, somebody got to say, have mercy. Mercy. Because we want people to become alive in Jesus, but we are dead. Have you ever seen some little kids and they have on the little t-shirt, the cap, and says, I'm a Yankee fan? You don't even know what the word means. But why that child is so excited being a Yankee? Look on the father on Sunday, or when the game is going on, or when they go to the stadium, and the son will see the father will embrace a stranger, and, excited when they come to church. Amen. Yes, brother. Amen. A child learn that excites my daddy more than Jesus. Somebody got to say, have mercy. If that child come to church and he notice that this is the graveyard, he ain't going to be a Christian years from now. If your child see you are passionate about sharing Jesus. You know, Dr. Nixon, who was the senior pastor of the Oakwood College, I heard him preach, and he was introducing the speaker of the night there at Oakwood. I was visiting, by the way. And suddenly the speaker was one of the speakers that I excited to listen to. That was Mark Finley. So when he introduced Mark Finley, he said, we were in some metro area, and then getting on the terminal of the airline, and he says, and Mark, they've been friends for years, so he called him Mark. And so then Mark was just talking to people, and he says, this guy gossiped the gospel. I never heard somebody introduce a speaker saying he gossiped the gospel. And I says, wow. I said, this is new. I have to write it down. And then he explained, every moment he got a chance, he would talk to somebody. Talk to somebody about Jesus. And I says, no wonder he's such an exceptional preacher. Can your children say that you gossip the gospel? Can your children or your grandchildren say, my mother, my grandmother is passionate about Jesus? Can they say, as long as my mother and my father live, I know that there is a Christian in my house? Hello, somebody got to be waking up now. I have known people who say, oh, I'm a generation of Mets. I'm a generation of Yankees. I'm a generation of Red Sox. I'm a generation. But I don't hear them talk with such a passion and say, I'm a generation of Bible believer. I want to hear that. Have mercy. You got to read this. Therefore, know that the Lord, your God, he is what? The faithful God who what? Keeps his what? And what else? Merciful. Hold on. In other words, God have promised if you invest in your children, in this generation, it will stand here in Wayne for 1,000 generations. When someone say amen. It's sad to say, and I had the picture, but I didn't put it up. You have churches that are no longer church. They are a monument. To my discouragement, when I visit for the first time Istanbul, and most of the country is mostly Muslim, but did you know that Christianity starts spreading from that point of the world? And a Christian church in a Muslim neighborhood was a museum. I said, God have mercy. Because Paul was preaching in these places, and no, it's a museum. No, church is not a museum. It should be a hospital where sinners of the world come to get healing in Jesus. Come on, church, you got to talk to me. What am I trying to say? If we look back in this chapter of this book, Joas didn't have an easy start. His grandmother was a wicked woman. And all the relatives, they did what was wrong before the sight of the Lord. Israel didn't have it easy. Israel divided after David. And Israel divided in two kingdoms. The kingdom of Israel, the one from the north. The kingdom of Judah, that's the southern part. And the tribes were constantly drifting from God. I wonder sometimes when we hear churches in New Jersey say, I know I'm from this side, not from your side. Hello. And I had to write this down. The kingdom of the north, Israel, had 19 kings. And the word of God tells us that all of them were bad. Not a good one. But the kingdom of Judah had 20 kings. Only 8 were godly kings. And 5 of them were kings of revival. Will you say amen? This was not an easy journey. I wish I could spend some time on this, but I didn't come to have a vigil. Let me just see if it. There you go. The 5 godly kings of revival were Azaz. Sometimes some pronounce it like that. Azaz, Jehoshaphat, Joas, Ezekiah, and Josiah. God raised these men with a purpose. They were not by just chance. God wanted a revival. Could it be that you might be the only person who are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian in your home? Probably your husband is not. Probably your wife, she's not a Bible believer as you. But guess what? God called you to be a revival. Amen? Now, I would like to summarize 2 concepts. First of all, sometimes we read the Bible and we find the kings and chronicles. First, the kings are an account, a historical account of what the kings were doing. But the book of Chronicles is how God view history. Is how God see things and how God's hand goes through history. And this is what I like about to illustrate each one of these kings. One of them is a reminder that we need to obey God. Would somebody say obey God? That's very important. Then Jehoshaphat came in and says, let's teach the word. Let somebody say, teach the word? Teach the word. This Wayne church need to remind people in this community, we need to obey God. Amen? Second, we need to tell people that the word of God is important. Would someone say amen? Then we come to Joas, and it's an emphasis of restoring. There are things that people are practicing. It's not all complete. We need to restore God in their life. Would someone say amen? With Ezekiah, they need cleansing, but not only this temple. We could keep this temple clean. No, we need the life of people to be clean, and only Spirit of God can clean people. Would you say amen? And finally, Josiah, return to hearing God's word. If you read that chapter, the young guy started his kingdom. Suddenly, he restored the church, sent back the offering to the church, returned to God what belongs to God. And suddenly, they discover the Bible. Would somebody got to say, have mercy? Can you imagine that the Bible was lost in the temple? the Bible was lost. Could it be that as Seventh-day Adventist Bible believers, we talk more about our views more than the Word? Could I say the following before I open the text that I want to read? Because I have some of them on the screen. Sometimes we are so strong, let me put it differently. We hold on so strong on our religious way of life that we forget the relationship that God wants. What's more important, rules or relationship? Mm-hmm. Let me prove a point, and I hope someone of you might not get a heart attack. We need to know him to love him, or love him to know him. Hello? Which one is right and which one is wrong? Love to know or know to love? Okay. That clock is working too fast. Who put new batteries in that clock today? Huh? You got to know God to love God. You need to read the Word to know him. That's what you believe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. How many of you agree with her? How many of you don't agree with her? How many of you don't believe nothing? You got to be on one side. We can't go around. No, may I prove from the Word that some of us who didn't say much, you're probably wrong. I'm probably right. From the Word. May I ask the following question before we open the Word? If someone comes up to you, I'm pushing out that one. Let me just put it this way. How many of you will be comfortable if someone just comes up to you and says, "Love me"? "Who are you?" she says. What if he wants to come up to you and says, "Marry me"? "Who are you?" So let's go to this young man who is single. Are you single? Okay, I want to make sure, you know. You could be married, I don't know. What if a young lady, one of those, you know, one of beautiful young lady, come and says to you, "Love me"? You've never seen her before. You say, "No." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. If he says, "Love me," what will you do? No? How much money you have? I'm a honest man. How much money you have? Oh. No, well, he's honest. I just say he's honest. I didn't say he was right. I just say he's honest. Just think for a moment. You got to know him or know her to love her or love her to know him. And you guys are struggling between these two. This is where, as Christians, we have been giving a message that is not right outside there. What the Bible says, let's go to, yes, sister, tell me. We can do both. Mm-hmm. 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 So then you have to know to love. That's what you're saying. So you say you can do both. Well, you just described one. You can do both. Okay. We will get into. But will you love a stranger? You should love your enemies. Mm-hmm. Love your enemies. You love God before you knew him. Mm-hmm. This is getting interesting. Brace yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay. You need to know to love or love to know? Let's go to 1 John. 1 John. What book did I say? Hi, yeah, yeah, yeah. My brother, we need to, we can't finish a sermon today. I see we need to get down deep. 1 John. Are you there? All right, let me get there. You see, I was not there yet. I'm getting there. 1 John.
Ah, yes.
Chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. Let's see if this is right. Verse 8. He who what? Does not what? Keep the Ten Commandments, come to church faithfully, stop eating pork and start eating this. But the Bible says, no. It says, he who does not what? Love does not what? So some of us says we need to know to love. When God says it doesn't work with me like that. You need to love, and then Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, we read it. When someone walks through the doors of this church and he knows nothing about Jesus and he's searching, what should we give him first? Okay, I hope we're doing that here. How many friends visit the church last Sabbath? Come on now, talk to me. You just answer me loud. Talk now. How many friends that come to this church probably 2 or 3 times after the very first time came last Sabbath? Probably about 10. Tell me 5 names. Did you embrace them? Did you invite them to your house? Did you learn and tell them the Holy Spirit brought you here and I'm just a helper of the Holy Spirit? Are you in the church?
Uh-huh.
Jesus says, if you love them, you said, Jesus said, they should know that we are his disciples by the way we love. Did you tell the brother and the sister, thank God you are here? Did you tell the one next to you, behind you and in front of you? I'm not asking you to do it now. That's hypocrite. No. We're not asking now. No. Too late. Am I asking? Could it be that probably this person might not be here tomorrow? This might be their last Sabbath. And yet we haven't shared that love that we need to. What am I trying to say? This Joas was the great-grandson of Jehoshaphat. A powerful speaker. A godly man and a godly king. But this young man was not influenced by his parents who were wicked. He was influenced by the priests. This is what I find from Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 2, page 803. And entire self-surrender and acceptance of his ways is the secret of what? In his love. Unless we can understand that, we are not where we should be. Ellen White goes a little farther. All who receive the truth are to what? Stand as it is representatives and advocates. The same responsibility rests in a degree upon all what? Members of the church. Whether ministers are what? Every soul. Every what? Come on, you need to talk to me. Every soul who receives the truth should what? Of himself to whom? And here I cannot put the letter bold. It says, a surrender represents as falling upon the rock and being broken. Our old habits. Our what? And cultivating what? Of our character must all be what? Yield to the transforming power of who? If we will become vessels of what? Unto honor. We need to be what God wants us to be. May I just go a little farther? Let's go to the chapter 23. Chapter 23 of the book of Chronicles. Just quickly, because the time is... I need you to see what I saw. 2 Chronicles chapter what? Okay, and verse what?
Okay. The word of God said the following. Then he said, all the people, every man with his weapon, in his hand from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar and by the temple, all around the king. And they brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, gave him the testimony. Oh, somebody got to say mercy. And made him king. Then Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, long live what? Here comes the end of what was a dark era. And I put it there, for 6 years, this priest raised this child as his own. There might be somebody here that was not raised by their parent. And probably you didn't get the love of your mother or your father. Guess what? God has somebody for you. And God is God that can take care of you. Sometimes someone says, I didn't have a good example, a good model to really be as the way I should. Guess what? God has somebody for you. This young man was in the house of the priest. They had to hide him because they wanted to kill anybody who could go to be the king. So for 6 years, this young man was hiding and being protected and trained by spiritual people. I wonder sometimes, are you a spiritual mentor? May I talk to you about my little church? There was a sister, I don't want to mention the name, she died already. And praise God, she's already gone. Hello. She was sitting more or less like in the middle of the church. And the young people, in my early teen, we used to like to sit behind her because while she was sitting there, and anything the preacher would say, she would say, I could imagine Sister So is twisting in her chair because the pastor just stick her where she need to. And all the message was pointed to somebody, never for her. In fact, she used to dress in white. So some people used to call her Sister White. And the young people, we used to sit in her space. And when she would come, she would not come on time. She would say, hey, this is my place in my church. You know those kind of members? It's my way or no other way. I remember I was sitting there once and I said, but sister, anybody could sit anywhere. No, this is my place. And that lady who was 200 plus pounds, hello, sit on my poor little skinny legs. And she said, if you don't move, I'm going to sit at you. And we had to just squeeze ourselves out. There was no time this lady would be that friendly. That's all I can remember about her. If you was to ask a question, what the young people or children will remember about you? Will you be that spiritual mentor? Will you be that inspiration? This priest, the Bible says, while he was alive, this young man will obey and do things right in the sight of the Lord. Church, this church have been here for how long? How long this church have been in this location? How long? Someone could tell me. 60? From 1975? Oh, it's a young church. Oh, it's a young church. Oh, from 75. So what you guys did in 2015? Had a big celebration? By 2020, you will be old. By 2020, we need to have a celebration, by the way. But the community have known your church for that long. If you ask a question, this is something I do sometime. When they assign me to a new district, I park my car a certain distance from the church, and I start knocking some doors, and I ask the neighbors, do you know where is the Adventist church? And they will say, oh, well, and they will point to me sometime in different directions. I say, oh, they don't even know that the Adventist church is down the street. And then I will walk across and walk around, not exactly like in front of the street where you are, some back street. And I will continue asking, do you know any of the members of that church that is on this corner, this street? Well, and sometime a member live right in front. So my question to you, what is it your neighbors know about you? You have been here for more than 40 years. What should they know?
in Chronicles 23 tells us that that 7-year-old child with this priest, they gather faithfully men in Judah, and they crown this young boy that was 7 years old. He ruled that country, that kingdom. But the one who really was running the kingdom was a priest, a spiritual man. Could it be that this neighborhood could say that this church have been a spiritual blessing to this city? What am I trying to say? Let me just get ahead of myself by going to this. The nation of Israel, while they were under this king, noticed the following. That the Bible may what? Okay. Let's go to chapter 24 to help you understand what I'm trying to say. Go to your 2 Chronicles, chapter 24, verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he became king. And he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name, as you know it, she was from where? Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada, the priest. And Jehoiada took 2 wives. Can you understand that? For him. And he had sons and daughters. Now it happened after these that Joash set his heart on repairing the house of the Lord. Then he gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out of the cities of Judah and gather from all Israel money to repair the house of the Lord for a year. And the Bible go on and see that you do it quickly. However, the following part, however, the Levites did not do it quickly. So the king called Jehoiada, chief of the priests, and said to him, why have you not required the Levites to bring from Judah and from Jerusalem the collections according to the commandment of Moses, his servant, the Lord your God? Assemble all Israel for the tabernacle witness. And now follow what verse 7 says. For the sons of Athaliah, a wicked woman, had broken into the house of God and had also what? Presented all the dedicated things into the house of the Lord to Baal. Then at the king's command, they made a chest, and you continue the reading. The house of God, they substitute what was right for what was wrong. And suddenly when they clear the church, rebuild back the church, they find the word. And when they read the word, they ripped their clothes. They could not believe the value and the principles. May I say the following? Many of our young people might not be converted by the Bible you read, but the Bible you live. For many of our young people, the real Bible is not what you lay beside your bed, but the life you live. If you says God is love, they need to see love in you. If you says the Bible is important, they should see it's important in your life. Now, the Bible, and as I have on the statement, the Bible may hurt you with the truth, but it will never what? This young king, even though he was a revival king, when the priest died, he drifted away. May I close by saying, he was convinced of the truth, but he was not converted by the truth. I know friends of mine who grew up in church, faithfully coming to church. And then the parents, so disappointed, said, but pastor, they went to the Adventist school, they came to church, but now they are far away. You see, the school wasn't good enough. The church wasn't good enough. And I don't know why we always blame everybody except probably the Bible that they were reading all their life was not a good Bible. That's your life. And I'm not trying to accuse anybody. What am I trying to say? Unless you reflect the character of Jesus, the light of hope will not shine anymore. Closing argument. This young guy at 7 years old accepted God. We can guide our children to have a close walk with God, but they must experience God on their own too. Today, I find that many of our children needs to see a passionate Christian church. And I believe that you can be that passionate church. I still believe that the revival that this church needs starts by reading the Word of God. And the Word can make a change in this church. I'm not saying that this church is dead. What am I trying to say is that this church needs a revival today. It's not a new preacher. It's a new approach to the Word of God. And by approaching the Word, by reading the Word, we can see souls born for the kingdom. May I ask today, is there anyone who wants to have a close walk with Jesus? If that's your desire, lay your hand on the Bible. Lay your hand on the Bible. Just put your hand on the Bible. If your neighbor doesn't have a Bible, just stretch the Bible to let the neighbor lay his hand on the Bible. And if the Bible is not stretched to you, you stretch your hand. Let's bow our head as we pray. The introduction hymn that we sung was, I rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Lord, today we recognize that the men and women who are here today are like this priest, called to make a difference to the next generation. We want to sow the seed of hope. As our motto and the theme of our conference, sharing hope. Lord, we want to go to the house of somebody who is probably laying down in their mess, probably sick with their lifestyle, probably don't want to even live to see tomorrow. Lord, probably somebody like you and me can go to their house, to their family, to their inner room and tell them there is hope in Jesus. Probably that person might be praying, I want to die, like this old man that I visited when I was in my early teen. Probably there might be somebody just for an act of kindness might somehow spring to a new hope. There might be somebody that might sit in next to us in church that comes Sabbath after Sabbath. And their spiritual life is like a desert. Probably if my approach, my excitement, my passion about the Word of God and about Jesus, if somehow it sparks of that passionate Christian start to ignite in my life, probably it might be contagious to a point that somebody in this church might start to praise in God the way they should. Probably my cold attitude might have somehow turned off somebody. Today, Lord, as we lay our hand on your word, we want to see a revival in the Wayne Church. But it's not the church, the building. The revival is in every home and every family and every individual. Oh God, we lay our hands on the word because there is no mystical power. It's just that we lay our trust in the word that can create the change that we need. We ask, oh Lord, to bless the elders of this church, the deacons, deaconesses, the leaders of this church, your pastor. May everyone be the voice of hope to this city here in Wayne. May someone who walks through the doors of this sanctuary finally experience Jesus today. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you tell the one next to you, Jesus love you and so do I.
We will just sing for the closing we have in our program, hymn number 593.
We want to sing just the first 593.